minutes?
So moved.
By Dick. Seconded by Olmstead. Adversely affected reputation.
Park me over there if you want.
Roll call vote to seal the minutes. Tom?
Yeah.
Jim?
Yes.
John, yes. Motion passed.
Thank you.
Okay, we are back in regular session, and I guess no decisions were made. Some information. Do we need a motion for this?
No, thank you.
You did make a motion for that.
Huh? You did.
We did make a motion?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. To the 2020 CLG grant application.
Yeah. May I come up to the table?
Yes,
or
please.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Well, Jim, I'm not sure if you were at the meeting when the district commission decided to apply or put in a letter of intent for the next round of grants. And when the application became available, the Department of Historic Resources reached out to us and encouraged us to apply and steered us towards doing some workshops like had been done in Keene and sent us some examples of that. We met this month and chose three workshops to present and are going to make a grant application for them. I don't know how much detail you want. Really just want to keep the board appraised of our efforts. And if our grant, you know, if they offer us a grant, we'll come back and talk to you, you know, in detail. I don't know if it's just, like I say, how much do you want to know about what we want to propose? And
is this another matching grant, or is it a straight up?
No, this is a straight up grant. right. Yeah.
I'm just worried about the budget. If we have to, like we did this year, where we have to put the money in up front.
Exactly.
We finish and you'll get the reimbursement.
Why they encourage us this time is, you know, we did a survey last time because that's what you can get full funding for. Well, this time an education information grant, which is usually a 60-40, will be fully funded. They have extra funding this time, so they're waiving the match. So I definitely think it's advantageous to go ahead.
Yeah. Is it the same? But is it the same thing where it's got to be up front?
Right. We have to pay for it, and then we'll be reimbursed.
So we do. We will have to adjust the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had talked with Trish about that last week, earlier this week. Mm-hmm. We're proposing three workshops: one in the fall, two in the spring. It would be a budget of $4,200. I told you $4,000, but decided to put a couple hundred in to do advertising. So, of course, it is a grant to the town. The Historic District Commission is simply the vehicle. I had thought initially to just come in and sit down and tell you what we were doing tonight, come back for the February 5th meeting to have you sign the grant application, but we have it ready to go, and I don't know if you want to just sign it tonight. It's up to you. This the signature pages. This is ready. We still have some tweaks on the rest of the application.
So I'll just say that, you know, this is a great follow-on to the grant we got this year. Well, this pad that we're executing right now with the survey, because we even in the Historic District Commission we had talked about. Now, how do we get people involved? How do we educate them? How do we get the information out. So this is a perfect follow-on.
Yeah.
And if we can waive the match.
Right, yeah, to be able to do what we'd, you know, be 60-40 with the town required, the 40. To have that all waived and get it fully funded is a great deal. The three workshops we're proposing to use, May Williams, who's doing this first grant, for two of them, and we turn to Historic New England for the other one.
Okay, and this is $4,200?
$4,200.
I mean, it's $4,200 up front, but we're going to get the money back, so it doesn't cost us anything. You just have to account for it in the budget. I think it's a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if Department of Natural Resources is encouraging us to do it.
Right, yeah, they made a special point of reaching out, and I got Nina on the call with them, and they really kind of led us down the path of what we should do. So I feel really good about getting the grant, too. Last time it was very competitive, and we did well.
You want to make a motion?
Sure. I will make a motion that the board approves $4,200 for the Historic District Commission to be added to line 4199.790, professional services, to enable them to apply for the CLG grant for the education workshops that they've outlined.
Second. You second it, Tom? Okay. We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any further discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion passes.
So,
would you like us to come back on the February 5th to sign the application when we've got it completely done, or do you want us, would you like to sign it tonight?
Is it done now?
You're just polishing, right?
Right. It's kind of in pieces. I do have a budget page, and I got part Sam. Yeah, I did send a copy of the grant application to Trish, but it was not a completed one. And it's in a little bit of disarray. Sam and I met and tweaked it this afternoon. I've got some editing to do. As I say, though, that the signature page is just a signature page, so none of this editing will affect it if you want to just go ahead and sign it. Give me a blank check, you know.
It's not blank. It's filled out for $4,200.
Right.
Okay.
I thank you.
All right, so before we go too far, that changes the bottom line for that budget that we voted last week. So I'm going to make a motion that we re-vote the budget for line 4199, Other General Government, increasing the bottom line from $1,953. I'm sorry, correction. $3,735 to $7,935.
I'll second that motion. Any discussion of the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Okay, so I think this goes back to Julie.
Yeah.
Do you want to move around?
I'll give that to Julie.
This one?
Sure. Yeah, and then I would say these two.
Okay. We're going to jump around here a little bit on our agenda and take the Belknap County Conservation Commission first. See if we can't get a couple of you people home before midnight tonight.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
Good evening.
If you guys could state and spell your name for me.
Sure, sure. I'm Donna Hepp, H-E-P-P, like in Paul.
And Lisa Morin, M-O-R-I-N.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm the chair for the Belknap County Conservation District, and Lisa is our program coordinator, the staff person for the district. And it's been a while since we've done a major project here in San Bertin, so we're excited to have a chance to just talk with you a little bit about an opportunity that we have. So here's just a real quick summary of what we're going to talk about tonight. Yeah. So the Conservation District has been around for almost 75 years. The concept, there's actually conservation districts all across the U.S. that started out during the Dust Bowl days. And basically the idea was farmers talking to farmers about soil and water protection and protecting natural resources. And fast forward to today, and that's still the work that we're involved with. Here in Belknap County, we assist landowners and towns, providing advice and assistance on water and soil projects and natural resource projects like wildlife habitat. And just historically, I just listed some projects that we've done here in San Bertin over the years. Mm-hmm. And what we're here to talk about, and Lisa can talk to them in detail if you have any questions, but what we wanted to talk with you about is that over the last several years, one of the things that we've turned our attention to is stream restoration. We think that there's some really exciting opportunities to improve habitat for eastern brook trout, which is a sensitive species. In a way, it's kind of our canary for the water quality in our rivers and streams. And in addition, the practice that we do is actually working with Trout Unlimited. Over the last several years, what we've been doing is actually mimicking nature by putting wood back into streams to help the streams kind of heal themselves and create deeper pools, which is really important during the summer months to have some cool, deep water for the trout to hide out during the summer months. And in addition, what it does is the large wood projects actually help reduce the velocity during storm events on our streams and also catch the sediment and nutrients and reduce the amount of sediments and nutrients that are going into the lakes. So it's kind of a win-win all around. Better, you know, bigger fish and reducing some of the impacts from sediment going into our lakes. And so the projects that we've done in recent years, we've done two over the last 2 years in Guilford. And we've gotten several additional grants, including a major grant to do a stream initiative between Belknap and Carroll County, and to do five additional streams. Here in Belknap County, we're focusing in on three communities. We're working with Alton. We've been talking to Meredith, and there's a potential project there. And then here in San Bertin, we are interested in working with you folks too. We conducted a community stream workshop last year in February, and members of your conservation commission attended, and there was a lot of interest in this opportunity. We had a fellow from Fish and Game with us, but he couldn't stay. It's late. but anyway, so during that time, when we talk with Johnny Van Tassel from your staff and folks from the Lake Winnesquam Watershed Network, and the, you know, pulled data from Fish and Game, they identified three or four streams that would be good potential candidates where there's already existing native eastern brook trout populations that could really benefit from this practice. And so we zeroed in first on Black Brook, and so had some conversations with folks. When we did the community workshop, we had lists of property owners that were along all the streams from the different towns that we were going to target. And we didn't have a lot of landowner participation in the workshop, unfortunately. There's a lot of folks on Black Brook that are, you know, are trusts and not necessarily folks that live here full time. So we then contacted the landowners at Black Brook, and the majority of the folks, what we were reaching out was, one of the first steps is Trout Unlimited basically walks the stream and does an assessment of whether or not this practice, you know, whether or not there's some problem culverts, and whether or not there, you know, there was an opportunity to improve the stream. And the majority of landowners said, yes, you know, we're okay with you assessing the property, but there were several that, you know, were not willing. And we haven't come back and talked with those individual landowners. We want to spend, you know, the other projects, it kind of surprised us because the other projects, you know, we've been working with private property owners, and most folks say, okay, so you've got a grant and you'll pay for all the work. Sounds good to me. So, and I know we're working with Alton and they're super excited. In that case, we're going to actually film the whole process from a community meeting, and we're going to involve the school district in that project. So there's lots of opportunities with this, but, you know, we only work with a willing landowner situation. So when we, you know, as I said, we got a little bit of feedback from the folks that were a little reluctant. And one of the things was they were concerned about whether or not it kind of related to some other things about Black Brook, and you know, we don't have the history that you folks do here. So one of the things that we did was step back and say, if one of the concerns that people had was maintenance of, you know, of measures that are taken to protect the watershed, like catchment basins, improving culverts, that type of thing, if that was sort of the tripping point for some folks, what could we do to help with that? So we did a moose plate. We applied for a moose plate grant and got it. It's a little bit better than $17,000. And what we propose to do is to have Trout Unlimited do an evaluation for fish passage and sizing of culverts of the 10, I think, major culverts in the Black Brook watershed. And then we also, so that's one piece of the grant. And then the other piece is to bring in an engineer to look at catchment basins and what could be done. Are they in the right locations that we have, the ones we have right now in Sanberton? And are there some things that we could do in terms of their design or their maintenance that would reduce the amount of sediment that's going, you know, traveling and reaching the stream? As well as there's a major culvert that's adjacent to Black Brook Road where there's a sediment issue. It's coming off of Fish and Game property. And I was just, you know, the fellow that was with us here is Ben Nugent, who's the fish biologist for the Lakes region. And we were talking about that. So this engineer would do some design and be able to come up with some information on how we could address that issue. So that's what we felt like we could do a positive, regardless of whether we move forward with Black Brook or move to a different stream in Sanberton. There's a possibility that we could do sections of Black Brook where there are willing landowners. So in the process, though, we wanted to start with this first project. And so that, just wanted to bring that forward to you folks. We had worked with the previous town administrator and folks in the plan in the Conservation Commission when we did the grant, but there's been some turnover, and so we just wanted to bring you folks up to date. This grant, you know, we could begin work this spring with the funding to do that. And as I said, we also have funds to do implementation of assessments and do this wooden stream work. We also have some additional funds to do additional assessments so that if we can go forward with Black Brook, and we'll, I think we're looking for some advice on that from you folks. We could also, we also have funds, one of the other potential candidate streams is Chapman Brook. And there's, that's one that we haven't talked to the individual landowners yet, but just wanted to bring you up to date about this practice and what we're working on. And we feel like it's a one of the things that the NRCS is doing now is this is one of the practices that landowners can receive funding and support for. And so what we're trying to do is be able to have a series of projects where we've done this, paid for it through grants, just as a spokesmodel for being able to really introduce this practice to landowners across the state. I used to work for the U.S. Forest Service, and they've been doing this type of work for 20 or 30 years. It's just trying to bring it, you know, down to the, you know, the private land as an opportunity to really make a difference. It's a good investment because in these upper reaches of streams, with a relatively low cost, you can make a big impact. So, anyway, just wanted to share that and see if there's any questions and if you have any advice for us.
Chief Dexter?
Yes, I have a question. Mm-hmm. I hear you talk about money for evaluations. Mm-hmm. Is there mitigation money available for grants as well, or is that something that the town bears or could bear moving forward?
Mitigation money, you mean it's...
So you're going to do an assessment, you come up with a plan. Are
right.
we on the hook to pay to actually get it done?
Pays for the mitigation
right.
project, if you will, to resolve those issues.
Okay.
Black Brook is a prime issue for us
right.
because that culvert slash bridge that we put in was done as a BMP,
right.
best management practice, to keep the silt from getting to the lake.
Right.
Well, it did. It collected it right there.
right. And so that's what,
yeah.
so this, we feel that this is going to position the town. And, you know, we're willing, grants are us. You know, we're pretty good at writing grants. And what we've found is that success breeds success. We've now had 3 National Fish and Wildlife Foundation grants. The latest one is almost $200,000 for the Lakes region. So what we found is that when you have documentation and engineering reports that indicate what can be done, then you're in a better position to write another grant to be able to get the implementation. So either through 319 or through Moose Plate grants, that's what we do, is we'll use one grant and then leverage that with others. So we might have money to do implementation on, say, Black Brook, to do the assessment and to do a mile of stream, and then we can get matching grants. We'll apply for a matching grant to do an additional mile.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
I know in regards to Black Brook, both the highway director and myself have been battling with DES in regards to that and how to, because that's a water supply, firefighting water supply
right.
for Black Brook Road. And one of our current dry hydrants that is buried and goes out into the waterbed is now silted up and unusable and is out of service. And we have since mounted a bridge mounted on the upstream side of the bridge
mm-hmm.
to with a low flow strainer to because it only used to fill tankers. It's not supply line.
Right.
But DES gave us a lot of pushback on either dredging that out, getting that silt taken out of there. Over the last couple of years, they made it, it seemed like it was going to be very difficult
mm-hmm.
for us as a town to be able to navigate the DES requirements for doing that.
Right. See, what we're doing is we're working with Trout Unlimited, and they, you know, for every one of these wood installations we do, we have to do a wetland permit. And so Trout Unlimited, you know, is, and because this practice is so strongly supported by state and federal agencies, it's an expedited permit that we have. And the engineer that we're looking at doing using is a retiree from the Natural Resource Conservation Service. So we've got folks, and he does a lot of work advising towns related to permit, to reviewing development proposals. So we have folks that I think can position us well. So what we're trying to do is help the town be able to move forward and do something positive, you know, do something positive that will help you get to where you want to go. And so that's our goal, is to be able to come up with this design related to that problem culvert, and then be in a position to be able to then go to the state and say, here's an, you know, a certified engineer that's come up with this design, you know, and it's compatible with the other stream, you know, with fish issues. You know, it's on state fish and game land. So
that was our big hiccup with DES, right? Because that land is owned by the state.
Right. So I think that's part of what we're trying to do, is we're trying to help get out of the pickle so that we can move forward. And yeah. So
I guess my only hesitancy, so I look at the list of the projects you've done, and every day I drive by the windmills and turbines that were put in for $60,000 that are now laying on the ground, because they never came with any support and maintenance money afterwards. And that's my only hesitancy, is are we going to end up with things in the stream? You know, the projects, I mean, if the money's not there to actually implement any of the recommended changes,
The $60,000, that particular project, and that was before Donna was our chairman, so that was through an NRCS grant, and it was understood that that was the limitation of that grant. So we didn't, with the Swains, approach a funding for followed-up maintenance. And I know that Matt has spoken with us about that, and so I've talked, Jan Hooper was the former, I replaced Jan, in that position, and so it's something that we are still with, and I've talked to NRCS about.
I wasn't trying to get into that. I just want to make sure that whatever we're doing going forward, we're looking at, as Paul was pointing out, the long-term plan.
And the reason I brought it up is only to say that there are avenues after that.
Okay.
Right, and for the wood and stream projects themselves, we've got, you know, plenty of examples across the state where this work has been done, you know, in the Weeks Forest, on Gunstock's property. It actually goes on to Eloquoia State Park. Our group has worked with Trout Unlimited and done 5.2 miles of this work. And we've worked in situations where we had over 50 property owners that were involved, and we've had not a single complaint. And the way they do this work, the stream basically is healing itself. It's not like a windmill, you know, that needs maintenance. No, because what's happening is the stream's going to continue to deepen pools, to expose gravel for spawning, to basically for the right now, because of the lack of wood, the streams tended to carve down. And this will help it reconnect to its natural floodplain. So it's a win-win all around. So in this case, what we're doing is basically helping nature heal itself.
Undo what people did by cleaning up the...
Well, it's basically because of all the timber harvest that occurred at the turn of the century. You just didn't have that natural accretion of wood that would be falling across a brook.
Yeah. We got another question. Johnny? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think for the most part, like what they're building out on these properties by putting wood back into the stream and by the stream healing itself, as Don is saying, these structures aren't all necessarily permanent. They are going to rot. They're going to fall apart.
Yeah.
But the hope is by that time, the stream has healed itself enough so that more wood will fall into the stream naturally, like it used to do 150, 200 years ago. Before we logged it all out.
Right, it's just, it's given it a chance to equalize a little bit.
So it wouldn't be nothing like the mechanical stuff. Mm-hmm.
So I think what we wanted to do is just give you an update on what we're working on. We'll work with Johnny and your staff, you know, as we work with these, with Trout Unlimited and this engineer on this first piece. And then we just want to, you know, over time talk with you about whether, you know, we'll be, you know, we're planning to do a whole series of things. And we have some ideas about doing like a community day about streams and give people an opportunity to see fish shocking and be able to identify the little critters that are in the stream and, you know, make it a really fun experience to just kind of connect with those streams, because there's a lot of these streams that people have no idea that there's actually trout in. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm on our conservation commission, and I'm a newbie, so to speak, and I'm surprised that there hasn't been communication between our conservation commission and yourselves. Any thoughts there, or why that has not happened, and what?
Well, they were, you know, they were involved with our workshop
last year,
and then we pulled back, and you know, it's just been, you know, last summer when we started to, you know, when we were approaching landowners, and we did it with letters rather than going door to door, you know, and we're just finding that, you know, it's going to have to be a more personal approach here in Samberton, you know, with some of these landowners, that, you know, to find out why they're concerned about.
And I before we sent the letter out, Brad Crosby had read the letter and approved what I had said in it.
Okay. I'm just letting you know.
So
I don't know what the prior involvement was.
I guess
I would have just envisioned this discussion happening at the Conservation Commission level first. It's not a terrible
thing. I think it's trying to find out.
We all want the same thing in the end, right?
Right. You know, I think it's just trying to find out where's the place to start.
Yeah.
And so, talk to Trish and get, and you know, and brought her up to speed a bit. And she suggested that we talk with the selectmen first. But certainly, you know, the Conservation Commission is going to be very key in terms of working with us. So we figured that we'd be working with the Conservation Commission and Johnny, you know, in Public Works related to some of the specifics on this. And I think that this first grant offers us the opportunity to dive in and come up with some things that will be useful to you in terms of looking at, you know, not having situations like the covert on Black Brook.
We're getting our own sandbar. We don't need Winnisquam anymore. We've got Black Brook. So the only thing I was going to ask was that, you know, you get this back in front of the Conservation Commission now that it's developing.
Right.
You know, I let Brad know he wasn't able to make it here tonight, but we've got a great program that they're working right now with the Sanford Central School on hatching trout. So, you know, this fits right in with everything that the commission's been focused on. So.
Right, and I mentioned that at the bottom of the note here, because I think that's really exciting. Alton has a similar program, and so we're going to try to integrate that, you know, with our efforts.
Great.
So, again, thank you, and we look forward to working with you folks.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I go over that bridge every day, and I look at it and say, "We better do something."
Well, we're going to try to see if we can get some help.
Thank you, ladies, for coming in. I'd like now to go to the special revenue funds.
Because there's two of you.
Hey, I'm just the taxi.
I know, but you're stuck until she's done.
I'm Mr. Uber.
I tip him well. Hi.
Hey, Karen.
Okay.
How much you charge for me to?
You have the.
We've got them.
Oh, okay.
We have copies. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. So the funds are doing well. I looked at the comparisons to where we were last year for the ones that have, you know, activity. The ambulance fund has $43,000 more than this time last year.
But Paul's got plans to spend it, so.
Well, he does.
Well, that's been spending $50,000 this year on that fund. He still ended up.
The police special detail fund, even though they weren't taking any details over the summer, is now they're picking up again, and they're $1,600 higher than last year. The Recreation Commission, we opened up a checking account for them, and so that's working out well, so we're not getting any fees, not losing any of our interest in the money market account, and they're slightly higher. They're $1,300 higher than they were last year at this time, so that's good. But the one that I'm really excited about, cemetery, none of the other funds have really done much. We had a sale of a plot for the cemetery. The sewer fund is the one that... The sewer fund, I'm still learning about it. I've got to be honest there. There's really three different bills that we pay. The one that we paid in October for $1,400, that was really the capital charge for the sewer fund. Then we got another bill in December that was $2,200. That is the replacement fund. And then we got another bill in December that was another $14,000. That's the administration fee. So it just, I think that's the last of them.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's like $30,000 a year.
Replacement. There's an O&M.
Operations.
There's an ops and maintenance bill also.
Let me see if that's
I don't really know that because we just got the input for the budget for next year.
It was with the $14,000 O&M and administration.
Okay, so they rolled together.
Yeah, okay. So that should be all paid up.
That first number you talked about, the capital.
The capital one.
Did you say 1,400 or 1,000?
14,000.
Okay, sorry.
Yep. So that was.
That's about right.
Yep, capital. Not a lot of information on the bill, actually.
Debt
service charge.
I inquired with them about how their billing, how they work all that out, and she sort of just said, this is what this cost is, and it's based upon last year's numbers, and you guys agreed upon that that replacement fund payment for 5 years, right?
A lot of that's set by the state.
Yeah.
So
it's just sort of...
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. And we still have, I've been transferring every month the fees that we collect. So the fees, the charges only go out once a year, and they were due in July, but we're still getting some dribs and drabs of people that pay late. And but the thing that we're still waiting for is from the auditors. The auditors wanted us to transfer the balance of the fees that are right now in the general fund to this sewer special revenue fund. So far, I've transferred from August forward to December, and there should be a charge for July, and then the balance that was in the general fund. So still have to do that. So, still waiting for information from the auditors at this point. And then the last thing is that the general fund balance is nice right now.
It's tax time,
right? So, but I've looked at where they... Last year at this time, at the end of December, we had $1,836,000. This year we have $4,415,000. makes me feel a lot better. Taxes weren't due last year until the end of January, so that's part of the difference. But it was really good communication between the assessor's office, the tax collector, administration, to get those tax bills out in time. So we had
to wait on DRA to finish their thing.
So as of today, we have $3,795,000 in the general fund, so we're doing well. Okay. $3,795,000.
Okay.
To last us till July, right.
I forgot to call to leave the room before you announced that.
I know. None of it's for Paul.
Steve, quiet.
Any questions?
I don't have any.
No?
Thank you for all the good work you do.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Numbers of my game. Okay. All righty. See you next time.
All right, Karen, thanks.
Are you leaving now as well?
So we can come back tomorrow night.
We can
tomorrow. Yeah.
Sorry.
No worries. Enjoy your pizza. Oh, yeah. Hope that microwave works.
Okay.
Yeah.
At
1 a.m.
Yeah.
Take
care,
Paul. See you guys.
Okay.
On the left. On the agenda. Before we hop back into a non-public session,
why are we gonna?
Julie, is it correct? Yes.
Yeah.
We're still sort of.
Yeah. So I was thinking we could do. Justin, you're here for Old Home Day, right?
Yeah, I can go after other people.
You could be here a while.
Well, whatever. If somebody has a time constraint, I have no problem waiting. It's up to them.
Thank you.
So I know what everybody else is here for. Are you folks here for something in particular, or?
She's here.
Oh.
In regards to the property on Little Bay Road.
Oh, okay. So this is another
add-on.
Got it. Okay.
Another what?
So it's a third from the earlier discussion.
Non-public?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Are you asking for non-public as well, or are you just
no? She's
I know it. Okay. I know it. She. That's why I would.
No.
So
she's been here a long time.
So you've got Justin's here for Old Home Day. And yeah. She's here to talk about the Hermit Lake deed restrictions that we talked about last time.
Yep.
And then we've got the non-public.
Okay. Sounds good.
So.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Dinner's already cold.
And it's still January. So
yeah.
February 1st is going to be epic.
Yeah.
All right. So, I got to find them because there were a whole bunch of. Oh, there we go.
If you're not first, you're last. Remember?
Okay.
In the clock 24/7, so what's the difference?
Okay, are we ready to?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hi. So, my buyers are willing to move forward with the purchase of this lot, and we could close next week.
Mm-hmm.
With a few things from the title attorney. One of them being that we would have to get an exception to title insurance for the reverter clause.
Yep.
So they're willing to do that. However, I think they're willing to do that. But we need to understand if they take ownership next week, is there anything that's going to put this back a bit? Or should we let the current seller move forward with having it go in the bulletin? Or an army agent.
I don't understand what.
Well, whatever process it had to follow, if a change in ownership. And then the other piece of this is that you know, I did a conference call with our title attorney because, you know, we were just talking about in general how this had to have come up before. We can't imagine that it wouldn't have.
Like in 2009.
Yes. And then there was a release that was done and signed. So I didn't know if that was feasible at this time to be done again since it was previously done. And the title attorney, Attorney Splendor, was kind enough to provide an RSA, which basically denotes that all reverter clauses are negated, period, unless you're a public or charitable organization. And it goes on to further define, and a municipal corporation or a state of New Hampshire, you fell under that loophole, of course.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be easy.
Yeah. So I'm reading that going, well, that's great, but we're a political subdivision or municipal corporation
of the state.
We're
still at square one. Yeah. So I just didn't know if your attorney had been aware of the previous, when he issued guidance. Yeah.
Well,
because he wasn't our attorney, that point in time. Do you recall that, Tom, at all? Because you signed that.
Look at the bottom.
Way back
bottom name there.
I thought that was kind of funny because I know y'all change.
You want to build a house?
My buyer wants to build a house there, yes.
On Hermit Lake Road or Drake Road?
Hermit Lake.
Well, Warren Lake is an attorney. He was an attorney when he was a selectman. I don't understand the issue because there's all kinds of houses that have gone up on that road.
Mm-hmm.
And this issue, as far as I know, has never come up with other property owner.
Well, it has because you had that release done at some point. Somebody had to come forward.
You need a release? Or?
A release, yes.
I don't have any problem with that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if we've done that with other properties on that road,
there's clearly precedent here.
I think in fairness, to be consistent, do the same thing with you guys.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
So shall
I? I don't see a need to spend a lot of money on legal fees to accommodate your request because there's already a lot of. You know.
I think frankly, the attorney that I work with, he's just really good, and that's why we did the conference call.
That's my buyer's jam, right? Like that's what he does.
Yeah, and my buyers were like, Julie, you can't tell me this didn't happen somewhere else. And I said, John, you know, they think I'm crazy. You're gonna have to talk to him. And he did talk to them. He explained it. Gave us a law and then brought this to our attention. Like, I'm not crazy. It has had to happen before. And what it boils down to is the title insurance companies will not insure the property. And then it makes it, not be able to be financed.
Unsellable.
Yes, unsellable. Thank you. So it's.
Do you need something from us?
A release like that, yes. Which I'm happy to ask Attorney Splendor to draw up, you know, on behalf of the seller. I've been working with Heather Wilson from Roach.
Yep.
And then put that forward, and then that will be filed with the registry, remove it, and then we can move forward with closing.
So you need this signed.
Pretty much,
something like that.
Yeah. It's just a new one of it.
Yep, it would be an updated version. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Will you provide the...
Yes.
Yeah, she'll get their attorney to send us one.
Yep. He said he'd be happy to do that on behalf of the seller, and I just continue to show up because I don't have a life.
If their attorney can get it to us, can we, you know, have you guys, when you, in your normal throughout the day, just come in? You don't have to wait another 2 weeks, potentially.
Okay.
If that's fine.
Okay.
They'll come in and sign it.
That'd be great. Yeah. Once that's done, then we can proceed with closing on the property. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Sorry
to have to come back.
Appreciate your patience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, moving on. Old Home Day Committee.
Oh, my God.
me pizza while you're out, will you?
Beer.
Yeah. Yeah, beer is good too. One or the other, Chief. I don't care. Pick one.
Why limit yourself?
Yeah. So I'm here tonight as the co-chair of the Old Home Day Committee, and in this, you know, in this upcoming year, also the 250th anniversary of the town, which is kind of a combined event to celebrate the town's 50th birthday. I met with the board back in July 24th, specifically to give a brief overview of what our thoughts were. And so what we're going to do this year is a three-day, Friday afternoon through some stuff and Sunday morning. So, but basically a three-day event, kind of to marry the two events together. With that, with the size of the event and the amount of effort and money we're putting into it, a couple of things that come with that are we want to do a fireworks display, and we want to have some larger tents to reduce the weather impact. And there was a few things we're going to be putting in the tents as well.
No.
Yeah.
There was no backup.
There's
there
nothing.
There was no backup for the whole thing.
No, this is just when we get to the budget part.
So, you know, the committee's been working hard to organize it, which has been, you know, tough all on its own to kind of come up with everything. And so, you know, the big thing is you know, where the fireworks and the tents alone are $15,000 to $18,000. The fireworks have been in the plans for a while, as far as a goal anyways. And then the last year and a half, 2 years, they've really been working hard to kind of raise some funds for the event. But there's more than the fireworks and tents. It's food and vendors, and, you know, we're looking at doing a fishing derby for the kids. So, I mean, the total cost is going to be probably north of $20,000 to get it all correct. We were looking at $10,000 to $15,000 for the fireworks display, and then about it's like $2,000 to $3,000 for tents to have a couple larger ones. The fireworks right now looks like they would probably be at the town park. It's what the fireworks company said is a safe area to do it. But doing that, it actually brings the cost down closer to the $10,000 mark than the possible $15,000 mark, which is good. We don't want to spend any more money than we have to. You know, what we're really trying to do is see what the town is willing to chip in for in addition to what an Old Home Day normally hosts for events. You know, the Old Home Day, they have some money. They've got approximately $5,000 in their account. We're raising funds now with various raffles and we're working on sponsor programs to increase that. An extra $5,000 we can come up with, you know, an extra $20,000. We're going to have a hard time pulling off, especially as we're trying to organize the event. We've got some really, really good people on the committee now. It's great. It's awesome. But devoting a lot of the time into organizing and some time into trying to figure out ways to raise money.
Sure.
So.
Now, as I understand, you actually coordinated with the fireworks company and with Primex, our insurance carrier?
Yes. Yeah, so I worked with Primex.
That's already...
and I have a copy even of their certificate of insurance already. I worked with Chief Dexter briefly. We have, you know, he's temporarily okayed the...
As briefly as possible.
Yeah. He's okayed the location, obviously, as long as him and the pyrotechnics company can agree on the terms and the height, which the pyrotechnics company is actually the one that he measured the location by aerial photographs already. He works a lot of different towns,
sure.
So you know, that all seems good there. That's one of the holdups of getting here, is just making sure the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, mm-hmm. and coming into, especially when it got towards the holiday season, it become even harder to pull off. So I came here with full information, not just a blanket, hey, I need some money. Yeah.
Put my hands
I've been on the budget committee. I know that works. So
But I do honestly think we'll probably be closer to $10,000, maybe able to cap it at 10 grand. I don't know for sure yet with the fireworks, you know, company. The tents are going to be an easy $2,000 just for basic coverage, you know. But it's, I mean, we've still got, like I said, if we do a fishing tournament, we're looking at having to pay to stock the pond to have that. We're going to be doing like a larger car show this year on a Friday night, which we'll have a DJ there and kind of make that more, you know, appetizing for people.
You had a DJ your birthday. We gotta...
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll keep our doors open. And then and we're going to do a type of a woods race type of thing, and a lot of different things going on. So there's going to be a lot of cost to it. I mean, a lot of $500, $800 costs are going to add up to be a lot, substantial. Like, so the biggest thing we're asking for help on is the fireworks and the tents.
Yeah.
After that, you know, because we know there's going to be so many other incidental things. I mean, the list keeps piling up. And, you know, we're already planning to raise money. But, you know, like I said, we can raise $1,000 in this fundraiser, $1,000 in that fundraiser. That stuff we can...
Time is ticking, too.
That stuff we can pull off all right, you know. But that adds up to maybe $5,000, you know.
And when do you need the money, I guess, is another...
We can do that after the... After the
to the first,
yeah, we'll be all right there.
Yeah, because just a suggestion for a fundraiser is you might talk to Steel Hill.
Yeah,
see if we could do a dinner up there. Maybe do the dinner for that cost $10 and charge $20.
Yeah, that's been in
$15 and get.
We spoke about that. We're looking at a raffle that I got to meet with a dealership about with a rental.
Raffle off one of your Kenworth trucks.
I don't know if I would have a job after that, but you know, like I said, we can do a lot of, like, some, you know, the $1,000 stuff we can do. You know, with the Snowmobile Club especially and other organizations I've been on, we've been able to pull that stuff off pretty easily. But we are going to be capped, you know. And you're trying to get money at a, you know, we're going to do a, probably like a little booklet thing, and that'll maybe bring in another $500, and the t-shirts typically bring in some money. But we also have to have money to go into the 2021 Old Home Day as well.
Sure.
So if we empty out a bank account, you know, we can get a little bit low on it and just have to get creative on fundraising for 2021, but we can't have it with $100 in there either.
Yeah.
You know, we've worked too hard to get this event up and going and growing and really trying to get some good volunteers on there and with the you know, large mix of expertise. And
I got a question back here, Paul.
Yeah, Justin, just as a thought, you may want to reach out to the Relief Association. Maybe, you know, we try to do some car washes, stuff that throughout the summer.
Yeah.
We could earmark that money to donate towards the 250th anniversary of Old Home Days. That might be worthwhile talking to the
Who
association,
is the,
Dan Chapman.
Dan's the head of it? Okay. Yeah, that's easy then.
Because they bring in, you know, people have something that we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, we've done for NDS, we've done for a bunch of other things. We brought 20 in the boot for a garbage wash. You know, we usually do $300-$400 a whack at a good car wash when there's something. We do it on a Saturday during dump day over at chapel. And
just leave your clothes on this time, please.
I don't vote for them. But that may be a thought. You may want to chat with the association.
Okay, yeah, I'll talk to Dan.
Yeah,
no, thank you.
Yeah, don't do it in the middle of the winter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so personally, it's always kind of bothered me that the town isn't an active participant in Old Home Day, right? I mean, we put nothing in it monetarily. Obviously, we support it with the locations, and you know, they have things at the fire station, but so I think to me, with this being the 250th, which is a significant milestone, I'm in favor of, you know, not to set a precedent that we're going to dump a lot of money into it every year, but I think this one in particular,
it's the 250th,
this one's special.
The Old Home Day sustains itself, and it, right. and it produces enough money every year. We gradually get more and more money. We can gradually get larger with that. And
this is a be a great way to help jumpstart that.
Yeah, it's, and absolutely.
I know the amount of work that the committee has put in this year to planning. They started back in the fall.
We started in July. Yeah. We never ended. We start. Yeah. You know, we didn't take a break after last year. And I think it also has been.
I know very well.
Good for the. Just in general for the volunteers, it kind of lets them have fun. They kind of enjoy doing some of the stuff, and it kind of I think it lifts up some of the volunteer organizations in the town.
But I agree with Jim. I've fought this in the past ever since I became a selectman, and I think this year especially, being a once in a lifetime major event. That we should do something.
We have a very frugal group of volunteers on the committee, I would say. You know, nobody's on there trying to blow money unnecessarily, and, you know, I feel confident in that.
Tom, what do you think? You got any thoughts on this?
I think that the fact that the town was not involved in Old Home Day was really the point of view of one selectman.
Mm-hmm. Was.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
I disagree with that. I think that the town should be involved with Old Home Day, should support it, and should give an appropriation to Old Home Day. I think it's pretty important. And I think particularly this year, it's important. And so I don't know what you're looking for in terms of a dollar amount, but
yeah. I mean, I was thinking $20,000.
Well, it'd certainly be very appreciated by the entire committee.
Well, I think it'd be appreciated by the entire community.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not something. It's not about the committee, but it's about what you're trying to do. I mean, and I think this idea of trying to expand it to become more inclusive of families, having the potluck.
We really have been trying to get it fun for everybody.
Yeah,
you know, that's
understanding this will be a one time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Did you say 20,000?
Yeah.
No problem.
I have a question back here, Paul.
I just have a comment. The town I came from in Vermont, we used to have an Old Home Day every year with a fairly large fireworks show. And the committee, during the fireworks, they would go around with, everybody wore, I think, a yellow hat, and they had yellow hats that they would collect money
pass the can.
Yeah.
You know, from people that were participating. It was nothing for them to bring in $5,000, $8,000, $10,000 in donations.
Really?
During just the passing of the hat during the fireworks.
Yeah.
Which
what town was this?
Every year. I'm sorry?
What town?
Bells Falls.
Really?
Rockingham. Yeah, we would do it every year, and it was part of the alumni association that ran the program, and they did very well.
Yeah.
They would collect money during the alumni parade that would go towards the fireworks. It was a very, you know, and in a town that's probably not much bigger, well, size-wise it's the same size, 50 square miles, but about 4,500 people.
Yeah.
So it's doable. And people that come out for a fireworks show, they're going to drop you a 20 in the hat.
Yeah.
We need to jumpstart them, you know.
Yeah, this could be the jumpstart for the next, you know, moving ahead. This could be the you know, fireworks every year.
Yeah.
Like Steel Hill does.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, it's...
Belmont does that.
Are you looking for
I went to one in Ashland last year. It was pretty good, a big fireworks show.
Okay, we're getting out of hand here.
I think it's a good positive thing just for the people in town in general.
And that's a good suggestion for the committee, you know, next year at this.
I think Paul's volunteering.
Something. Yeah, I think.
He's going to bring.
I don't look good in yellow.
He's going to bring his boots.
Yeah. Paul's the only one got a hat on big enough to carry to hold the load. So.
He's going to bring the ladder, like the truck. Yeah,
we
like
don't
the
big have
truck.
A.
Don't say ladder truck. No.
We're just going to fill the truck.
So, the question is, what amount are we comfortable with?
Yeah.
John, okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, then I'm going to make a motion that the board approve the amount of $20,000 for line number 4589.200, Old Home Day, to help defray the cost for the fireworks, tents, and other activities for the FY21 budget.
I'll second that motion. Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion passes.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it. It's July 1st, right?
So. Yeah. Yeah, we'll push it out a week.
Not too much.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
and remember,
it.
Remember.
Yeah, thanks for all you guys
have
been
doing. Get a big hat to pass.
Yeah, I'm sure our chief's got something We're back there. Something. I know he's got something on that department.
Yeah, we need some, like, Revolutionary War hats.
No, I think
talk to Tim Klein. He can get
yeah, Tim probably can.
He can get you a line on some.
Get the chief to give you a couple of boots.
Let's get heavy by the time we're filled up.
They got straps
well,
though.
He's a strapping young lad.
Just little metal.
I can probably swim in your boots.
Little metal or plastic cans. They work fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was always a good money draw.
No,
it
was, yeah, it was something.
We could have a dunk tank. Dump
Selectman for 5. Did you say a dumpster?
We've done that. Dunk tank.
Pass. I did that. I've done that for 2 years. The dunk tank.
We could dump
it. It was a special dunk your selectman.
I've been dunked.
Huh?
I've been dunked.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember you were in it one year. Okay.
Julie, you ready?
Moving on.
Yeah.
We're gonna go.
Are you guys gonna be?
We're gonna go to a non-public meeting.
I think John. I hate to.
Oh, did you have something else, John?
Part of the town administrator's report is the Lower Bay
completion project.
Complete, and I wanted to just before we just completely go ahead with that. I want to make sure that you're okay with that. They're saying that everything.
Have you seen the completion?
Have you seen the paperwork for it?
I haven't seen the most recent paperwork, but I was there for the walkthrough. We went through.
And they said that they fixed the fence, the fencing, and all
fence,
that stuff.
Fence was the last thing.
Yeah,
on the punch list.
Small incidentals, and I signed off on. But he gave me a copy of the punch list, and then they have the copy for you guys to sign.
All right.
And they said they're going to be two invoices left to come. One for the final punch list. And then another one for doing the as-built plans.
Yeah.
Is that what you're expecting? We haven't seen them yet, but that was what the letter said.
They were smaller incidentals to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys should be all set on that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Because then the next thing I want to do, which will probably involve you and the chief, is I want to get a discussion going on speed limit, setting a new speed limit on Lower Bay Road.
Probably
First we got to get everything taken care of, mm-hmm. and we got to get the state to release it to us.
It's actually already ours.
Okay. Yeah, we took it a couple of weeks ago.
So
why
would they just email
no, it's ours.
Yeah,
it was ours this fall.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. The town meeting accepting it is just a formality. Once the state says it's yours, it's yours.
Yeah, because. Yes, I've had plenty of the residents down there bugging me about speed limit on that part of Lower Bay Road. So
it's ours. We can do whatever we want.
Need to get you and the chief together and get a discussion started on that.
I'd say as soon as you get town meeting done and if all looks good to everybody, then we can do whatever you need to do.
Thanks, John. Yep.
Okay, thanks
have
for
nice
coming,
night.
Johnny.
Thanks.
All right.
Okay, then.
Julie, you're up.
Oh, have a good
yeah.
Can I have the.
Hi, Paul.
We are going to talk about budgets today, right?
Yeah, but I mean, all we're looking at is we've already done yours. We just need to do it with the new.
I need.
Right. No, would you let, if Ray's out there, will you let him know we're going in non-public? So if he needs to. If he needs to grab his stuff.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Come on up.
We can, yeah.
We got lots of chairs, you know.
Selectman present, Olmstead, yes. Solotello.
The Clorox.
Are you here, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dick? Yes. Ray, did you need your stuff, or are you sticking around?
I'll probably stick. Are you going to do more budgeting?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do the budgets.
Don't worry, they won't leave
you
out. I
like pepperoni pizza.
Okay, motion entered in public, made by Olmstead, seconded by?
Second.
Dick. We're going into non-public under RSA 91A3, subparagraph 2C. Matters which, if discussed in public, would likely adversely affect the reputation of any person other than a member of this board, unless the person requests an open meeting. This exemption shall extend to any application for assistance or tax abatement or waiver of fee, fine, or other levy if based on inability to pay or poverty of the applicant. Roll call vote to enter non-public. Salatello.
Yeah.
Olmstead, yes. Dick?
Yes.
Remove the public tape, and we enter non-public session at 8:05.